On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools, empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, welcome. I'm so grateful you've joined us here today. You might be listening live here in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW, anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio, or perhaps you're listening after the fact on ChristineUpchurch.com, iTunes, or one of the, dozens of places the podcast ends up. But wherever and whenever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you joined us, because we're going to be talking about something in a way that we've never talked about it before. We're going to be talking about creativity. But before I get into that, I want to say hello to the man who does the magic with technology to allow you to hear these conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi there. I'm creative in my own way, as you are as well.
Yes, and I'm really excited about our guest today.
Because me too.
He's one of my all-time favorite guests, and he's going to be talking about a topic that I haven't, like, his book's not out yet, so I haven't gotten to read about it. So I'm going to be as surprised as the listeners are as
and
we talk
when you
about
come out
this.
With an all-time favorite guest, you're going to have to jump out real hot there. Yeah, real hot.
Well, you know, we occasionally do have to do a replay. And
sure.
Let's just say that his first show, we replayed twice. That says
that's how good he is.
Exactly. Now the pressure's on.
Right.
Today, we're going to be looking at how the marriage of self-discovery, transformation, and creativity sets up a life of purpose and joy. Can't read this morning. And we're going to be looking at creativity in a new way. And our guest today is Jacob Nordby. He's the author of two books, The Divine Arsonist, A Tale of Awakening, and Blessed Are the Weird, A Manifesto for Creatives. He leads the Creative Unbootcamp course for students around the world and offers transformational group retreats and individual creative coaching. And his personal exploration has led him to wisdom traditions that include Toltec shamanism, Taoist teachings, Jungian psychology, existential therapy, and more. And he's currently writing a new book about, guess what? Creative discovery. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Jacob Nordby. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Christine. Thank you. Thank you both. I'm so happy to be back.
And it's so nice to have you back. I think it's been a couple of years now.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of water under the bridge since then for all of us, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I think that you were on the show like right before the 2016 election here in the United States.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. A few things have unfolded since then. So I'm really excited about your new book and to learn about your perspective on creativity. Now, first, Jacob, how do you define creativity?
Well, that's such an interesting question, Christine. We put on this big event in Santa Fe just about a month ago with Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way, and we called it Creative Reboot. And I'm telling you this because it was such an interesting challenge for us to invite people in, and they came. We had a couple hundred people show up, but the definition of creativity has been laden with these ideas that it's really kind of the property of the artsy type. Maybe really smart inventors. Does that make sense?
Or compartmentalized for those of us who think we're not creative into like a little hobby or something.
Yes, exactly. And so as I started writing this book about a year ago and have gone through draft after draft, what I find is such an interesting challenge. It's almost like a word like love or God or, mm-hmm. Trust or honesty. They're such big words. And they have so many different shades of meaning to them. And so with being creative or creativity, I find that people would show up to work with me in one-on-one coaching or come to my online unbootcamp thing. And what I would find, Christine, is they would say, well, I'm here to figure out how to write my book. I need to get my creativity channeled and need to get accountable. I need to break my procrastination or break writer's block or whatever it was. And what I would start to notice is when they would begin the process of looking at what was actually holding them back, it would go into other areas of life. And so I began to realize, oh, we have a misconception about what creativity is and what being creative is. And so what I feel is that creativity and the energy of life are the same thing.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So when I'm having a creative moment, so to speak, I always feel like I'm in the flow, so to speak. So is that kind of the same thing, that life force that flows through us?
Well, I love that you use the word flow. And once again, a lot of people feel like they can only have a little bit of that. Or maybe it's only the property of those special people who kind of know how to get in the zone, those artsy types. And they also, there's also a lot of misconception about the people who are letting that flow happen. Sometimes there's a lot of sort of pain and even mental illness associated with being an artist or being creative. And so a lot of people who go, I'm just a normal person, I'm really not that creative, there's a lot of fear even in touching what might flow or creativity. And so since you use that word, when we think of it as the energy of life itself, just imagine a tree. And that a healthy tree has sap flowing all the way from the tips of its roots all the way out into every twig and leaf. So suddenly, that's what creativity is.
Right. So if it's going to every leaf and twig, does that mean that creativity needs to touch every aspect of our lives?
That's what I'm discovering more and more, Christine. And what I'm finding is that whenever people start, whichever doorway they enter, you know, you and I have a lot of people in our fear who are deeply into self-discovery or transformation or personal development.
You bet.
What I'm finding is that, like as soon as you enter any of those doors, we end up touching this energy. And so learning to take the definition and change it allows us then to go, oh, my entire life is meant to be filled with creativity. My life is meant to be art in every area.
So can you give us some examples of how creativity comes into, you know, a part of our life that we don't expect it to be defined as creative?
Yeah, so I actually developed for last year's online boot camp thing, I developed this assessment, and then since then I've refined it. And it's this kind of a 360 look at my life. And I did this not for other people first. I did it for myself, Christine, because I could feel that there were some limbs in my life where the energy was that sap was sort of being stifled or choked out, and that created messes, right? So I had these things, and it was hard for me to look at them. Another way to say it would be there's invisible furniture filling the house of my life, and it's hard to move around in it, but
right.
I can't see
it. I like that.
It's in plain sight, but I can't see it. All I know is that when I get up in the middle of the night, get a drink of water or pee, I bump into it and bang my shin, and I look down, and it's like, well, where is it? I can't see it. So doing this kind of assessment helps me, and I discovered some very, very practical parts of my life that needed to be looked at, and that actually were stifling the flow of creativity in every other area. I had some medical bills. I had banged my head during a rafting accident and had some medical bills that needed to be addressed. And you know, it wasn't, I had the money. It wasn't that they didn't need to be, you know, it was going to be a hard thing to do. But just by looking at it, being willing to look at it, I discovered that energy of creativity actually flowed directly into that area and helped me solve that mess. And there were a couple other very practical areas, too. And as those areas got cleared up, I found that I could breathe. I had freedom to move in my life. And I could, you know, I could begin then working on what might more traditionally be called my creativity.
That makes sense. And I think about energy healers and people who are into feng shui talk about how the physical clutter of our lives can affect the flow of energy. So what you're talking about is sort of the psychological clutter that was interfering with your flow.
Yes, very much so. And these things, I mean, you know, you're so familiar with all of this kind of work, Christine. I mean, it's symbolically speaking, if I can begin to take steps toward the things that are feeling messy in my life, these you know, piles that I've been covering them with blankets or tarps so I don't have to look at them. Maybe I've been covering them with a tarp called forgiveness or I'm always happy. And if I'm willing to pull that up and say, okay, let me just be honest about what's here.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Then,
yes.
Then I can actually do the clearing work.
Uh-huh. And I think that there are a lot of people in the consciousness movement, the so-called New Age movement, who feel like we shouldn't be facing those negative feelings, that we somehow should transcend them as opposed to looking at what's under that tarp.
Yes.
Yeah. And that creates yeah. problems. That creates problems. You know, I was go ahead.
No. I was making encouraging noises.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking about how I was overwhelmed by the clutter of my books. Now, having my own show, not only do I get almost a book a week for my guest, we get lots of books for prospective guests. And, of course, I read on my own as well. And so I've probably had an extra 150 books lying around my house. And I finally decided to deal with it. And I tell you, it went from this organizational project, I got to organize this shelf by subject or, you know, inspiration or whatever. And then I was creating the stacks of books to please me. I was putting other objects there. I took a grouping of books that were from my kids, the Nate the Great series. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I know you've got kids. Yeah. And I put this little ceramic turtle next to it, you know, and it was this whimsical moment. And it was a whole process that was just not about organization and clearing. It was about sort of looking at who I was, looking at who I'm becoming, who I am now, what speaks to me now, what I can let go of. And so it was, in a sense, it went from this organizational project to an introspective creative project.
Interesting. And how did you feel after you began rearranging things like that?
Well, it's interesting because it felt a little uncomfortable at first. And I think when letting go of stuff, it's really forces me at least to look at who I am now, who I was, what matters to me now, what doesn't, and kind of assess how I've shifted. And that can be both inspirational, it could be a little uncomfortable. But by the time it was done, it was I just want to go stand by the bookshelves and sit by the bookshelves and think about what I might want to add to the bookshelves. It's sort of created this flow. And it also makes me feel a little lighter so that I can create more space for my own creative writing.
Yes. So that became art, and it felt differently to you, didn't it?
It absolutely did, yes. And that was sort of a surprise to me because it was an organizational project. We have to go to a quick break, but stay tuned to talk more with Jacob Nordby about the life-changing power of creativity.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Jacob, I'm kind of curious. How can we utilize creativity, as you define it, to get out of our rut?
Well, you know, when we redefine it or expand the definition of it, of this idea, Christine, to where it's the energy of life itself. I mean, when we go out in nature, nature always finds a way. Like when you see a tree that has found a way to grow through the crack of a big rock and become a tree, like that is the energy what we're talking about. And so if I'm willing to allow it, this energy will find a way. It seeks, life seeks more of itself. It wants to become everything it can be. And so the resistance is fear of the unknown. And I have it. We all have it. Like, our brains are wired in such a way that we seek certainty and we seek to stay the same because that represents certainty, even if same isn't very good. Can you think of an example, right? Like,
I've lived those examples, yes.
So have I, of course, you know, for years and years and years. There's this quote Jenny Blake wrote, "Embrace fear, insecurity, and uncertainty as the doorways of opportunity that they are." And that sounds cool. It's a quote, right? So
yeah,
it's neat.
It does.
But it's, when it comes to, I'm facing change in my life, I'm facing the ending of something. We were talking on the break about your children, your youngest is off to college and mine are, you know, just finishing their senior year. And that represents change. There's big, I mean, that's, there's big fear there, even if I don't, even if it's joyful in some ways, right?
Right, right. It's this bittersweet transition.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, actually. So your youngest leaves home. You have the place to yourself.
Right.
Tell me about how that feels.
It feels great.
Right.
It's funny, though, because, you know, back in 2014, I left my marriage, and it shifted the structure of my parenting. I had him every other week. And so I went through a two-year process grieving deeply, not getting to see him as much, not getting to have that sort of family unit. And so I think I let go a lot of, you know, of my attachment at that point to him. And I miss him. He's coming home this weekend. I'm really excited. But it feels right for him. It feels right for me. And it's opened up the space for me to have more freedom to do what I want.
How did it feel when all that space just sort of showed up? Was that really exciting and comfortable, or was it like, whoa, I haven't had that space. What do I do with this?
Well, it actually felt really good. But I have to tell you that when I did leave my marriage and I went to a new space, and I had that freedom within that context, it felt terrifying. It felt uncomfortable. I was having to ask myself, who am I and what do I care about? So the current transition has felt very much in the flow. And I know that it's perfect for him. It's perfect for me in terms of my expansion and you know, my evolution. But that initial transition of letting go and of opening to something new was terrifying.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's really fun to you know, dance like this with you. And I really mean it like that because, you know, when I ask the question, like, oh, well, you know, this isn't an assumption of, oh, well, this change with the child going off to college, oh, it must be really terrifying and bad. And that's one of the stories I think that we tell ourselves about change and about how to use creativity is, oh, well, this is going to be really hard, and I'll learn from it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, all the story of the tragic hero and the story of the trail of tears and all this stuff. And, of course, I'm going to learn from it, and it'll be all that stuff. But one thing I'm being encouraged to do right now in my own life, Christine, is really take a look at the stories I've been telling.
Right.
In every way, because this is the fascinating magic of being human, truly. We are the only creatures on Earth capable of telling stories.
Yeah.
We literally create our lives with the stories that we tell.
And we get stuck in the groove of what that story is.
Exactly. And most of the stories, and I'm telling you this because it's really fresh in me right now. Even, you know, and you and I have read these books and gone to workshops and done all sorts of things for years and years. So none of this is actually new, but for me it is really, really fresh in that I had the opportunity, someone close to me helped me without even knowing it, helped me spot this really, really old story in my life that had been running the show. And it actually had been making it much, much more difficult to give expression to my creativity in every area of my life.
Do you mind my asking what that story was?
I don't mind, and yet not at all. In fact, what's interesting is there was this story, and I call it a shadow story because it was something that I had glimpsed a couple of times before, but every time I would turn and look right at it, much like shadows do when you shine a flashlight, it just kind of went away.
Right.
And so this person was so close to me that when they said a single sentence, it in response to something I had said, it just all of a sudden came into focus. And so there was a story of this little orphan looking through the window at a bunch of people inside who belong there, and they're sharing food, and they're laughing, and you know, there's great connection. And this little orphan is looking at them, and he's feeling so happy for them, but he doesn't feel like he belongs in there enjoying those things.
Right.
And that story, so he doesn't belong, and if he ever gets to get even a little bit of that, maybe he can go to the back door, and maybe somebody will give him a few scraps or something.
Right.
And that little orphan had stayed alive all of my life and told me a story about, hey, you're going to work really hard in life and you're going to have a lot of disappointments and things probably won't work out. Mm. And there's a lot of scarcity in this story.
Yeah.
And so the fact is, even when I was creating things that should have been very satisfying, this little orphan was telling this story behind the scenes the whole time. Which then means that the energy that I could be using in a much fuller way, Christine, was being actually drained away to keep the story alive. And
right,
I just didn't even know it was there.
So there are two aspects of the story. One is about there being scarcity and not enough. And the second one is not belonging. And and those are two different aspects of it. So if we're going to be cutting edge, there's going to be an aspect of not belonging initially, right? So how do you balance kind of, how do I put this? How do you balance that knowledge or inner knowingness that all that you're teaching might not be fully embraced because it's cutting edge, but still feel like you deserve to belong?
Wow, Christine, and it's so interesting. You mentioned in the intro, you mentioned my first two books, and those two books, both of them had strong themes of not belonging, of mm-hmm. waking up and not belonging. And I had a guy come not too long ago. He's a marketing guy, and he said, listen, I want you to see these two books differently. He said, I want you to see them as the first two books in a series. The first one is really you're waking up inside of your life and realizing, wow, I've been creating, you know, things that weren't in they weren't aligned with myself. Uh-huh. Now I'm going to find out who I really am. Blessed Are the Weird was a book that really helped you then accept who you are, accept mm-hmm. who you are with all your bumps and strangeness and everything
right,
else.
Yeah.
And this third book that I'm writing is a real sense of this is what to do once I've come home to myself. This is how I then take that out into the world and write a new story. So it's no longer a story of being strange and not belonging and even glorifying the idea of, you know, being weird, let's say, mm-hmm. Because it didn't, and I love Blessed Are the Weird for what it helped me do because it did help me come home to myself. And I feel like that is the real message here is that self-discovery is transformative. It's transformative because it leads me into the energy of my own life. It brings me home to myself all the way. Uh-huh. And, you know, we, again, these are these beautiful concepts that we hear in spirituality and personal development about, you know, coming home, love yourself, you know, you got to love yourself first, all of that. Well, I'm really learning how not conceptual that is in everyday life, Christine. Yeah.
So what you're talking about is belonging in your own life and therefore you belong.
Well, yes, and as I begin to tell that story differently, it's no longer an orphan. And by the way, I know that I can't, if I try to drive the orphan away or try to throw a, you know, some kind of a tarp over him or here, go away, I don't want to look at you.
Right.
All that does is make the story that much stronger and makes the experience that much stronger. So then I am continuing to tell that story. I'm continuing to imagine that being true, mm-hmm. whether I know it or not. Therefore, that is what is reflected in my life, in my relationships, in what I create. That is the story that, like, the fiction I tell becomes the true story of my life.
Right, right. And I've found personally, if I'm trying to pretend that doesn't exist, put that tarp over that part of myself, then it starts to act up worse. It's kind of like I've learned to have to learn to self-parent, essentially. You know, and have compassion for that scared part of me, that part of me that sort of was survival mechanism and has served me well, but shouldn't be the one in control kind of thing, as opposed to just saying, you know, go away, go away.
Well, yeah, how would I treat my own little child, my own children when they were young, when they were two or three?
Uh-huh.
If they came and said, Daddy, 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 I need something, and I didn't listen to them, they would get louder and louder, and eventually mm-hmm. something would break, you know,
right.
Until they got my attention.
Yep.
And the little orphan inside of me, you know, needed to get my attention, and I didn't know how to pay attention to it. Well, uh-huh. but if I'm a loving parent, I'm not going to like hurt that child or yell at them for needing something. I'm going to hug them and say, "Yeah, let's go get you a drink of water or uh-huh. whatever you need." You know.
And sometimes what the child needs is just to have the parent be present with it. And so, in a sense, when we're dealing with our shadow side, so to speak, we need to bear witness to it and just allow it to be.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that allowing relate to creative transformation?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to the word flow. I love the, let me see if I can find it here real quick. I love what Osho said. Don't move the way fear makes you move. Mm-hmm. Move the way love makes you move. Move the way joy makes you move. And even the word transformation, I think that it's so easy to get into this, you know, we're going to go look at the wounds, we're going to dig in. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I've spent a long time doing that, and I know the value of it. So I feel like if the flow takes me into a place where there is a wound or where there is shadow, that requires some courage and willingness to go through it. But I feel like learning to just say, the flow of my life will take me wherever I need to heal and wherever I need to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I could begin telling a story that says, I'm going to begin moving as love would want me to move.
Right.
I'm going to move like joy would move here. It begins to transform the way I see the circumstances of my life. It helps me imagine a different way of mm-hmm. relating to whatever's going on. And again, I'm so careful there, Christine, because I don't want it to seem like, oh yeah, let's just be happy all the time and try to talk ourselves out of feeling what we're feeling. You know, it's not
right.
that at all.
Right. Yeah. This is a fascinating conversation. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Jacob Nordby.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit SarahMain.com.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, 1150 AM, as well as Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to author Jacob Nordby. And Jacob, at some point we were talking about how creativity relates to flow. So let's say that you're working in the business world. How do you sort of create that sort of flow within the context of deadlines and meetings and commuting?
You know, one thing that's really helped me a lot with that is David Foster Wallace did that talk, and it's on YouTube, and people can look it up. It's called This is Water.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the mundane, the death by a thousand cut life of showing up at the store and you know, after a long day at work, and it's been raining outside, and standing there in line, and the person in front of me is this, you know, they're being stupid. They're paying with a check, for God's sakes. Who does that? And mm-hmm. and he says, and remember that, like a fish in water doesn't can't ever see the water. He's like, this is life. This is water. This mm-hmm. is your life right mm-hmm. now. This one right here. Uh-huh. And that has helped me a lot to stop, become present. And again, that's a word that's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to become present. I'll be mindful. No, I mean really in the grocery line or uh-huh. when I'm dealing with pressure and deadlines, you know, and I'm feeling overwhelmed. It's like, wait a minute, this moment of my life right here, I'm not waiting for some other time mm-hmm. when everything is right and I have it's perfection. This moment of my life, and remember, I'm using the word life and creation and the energy of creativity as the same thing. Therefore, how can I bring life to this moment?
Yeah. And I'm thinking about something like standing in the grocery line, and I've sort of evolved enough to understand that I need to be self-aware and, you know, I connect with sort of the field around me, which may include the people or it may be something else going on. But it's really a matter of being aware of my own judgment. Okay, the guy's taking forever writing that check, and it's taken forever to get it approved. And also to understand that I'm feeling stressed about something else. Also understanding that I'm feeling connected to the person behind me in line. And also sort of be aware that there's perfection in the timing, so maybe it's going to make for a safer drive home. It's kind of like being aware of the multiple levels of what's going on within me.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, I mean, just that awareness itself puts you back in touch with the energy and the intelligence of your life and how you are connected to all of life. And, you know, I find the question, if I'm able to ask a question, what would I love? Hmm. What would I love?
Uh-huh.
That is transformative by itself. So, and again, that old story I was talking about of, you know, that has so many different ways of saying it. You know, I'm not going to be supported. I don't deserve to be supported. Da 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 da. Uh-huh. If I approach my work, I had this experience at a workshop earlier this year where a woman was 62 years old, she had spent 20-some years at this job, and she said, you know, this job is just sucking my life out. I have only 2 years left. I don't know how I can make it to the end of those 2 years, but when I get there, I'll be retired, and I'll be able to be creative then, but I have to slog it out for 2 more years. And so we sat with that together, and I said, now, let's do a little exercise here. What if you, because she said, I get home and I'm so exhausted. I've dealt with my work all day long. I don't have any energy left to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what if we look at this and call it something different? What if we put this work of yours in a box called, this is my funding source, and I've been faithful to it for all these years, and it's grown this wonderful account that's going to allow so much freedom in a couple of years. I said, how do you feel like about it when you call it that?
Uh-huh.
Rather than this is the thing that's killing me and doesn't allow me to be creative. She said, oh my God, that changes how I feel about it.
Uh-huh.
I said, so when you bring the energy, that different energy to your work, what happens? She said, well, now I don't expect it to be anything but what it is, and I feel more joyful. It feels light to me.
Right.
I said, how do you feel, just in your imagination, how do you feel when you go home from that job? She said, well, I feel light. I feel okay. Like I have energy in her imagination. You know, she's telling a new story about it. And so as we looked at it together, we realized, and it was actually a revelation for me as well, because, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you need to quit your job and you need to, mm-hmm. you know, go follow your dreams. Like, wait a minute here. What if I bring a different energy? Because that energy of resentment is so heavy that it actually doesn't even allow me to be creative in that work. And I said, what happens when you show up to that job? Now you've put it in its box. It's not going to try to be anything different, but you show up with joy and you see it this way. She said, oh my God, I'd probably act differently.
Uh-huh.
She said, I might even be noticed differently. I've got my light turned on, and all of a sudden, maybe I even have other opportunities inside of that job, or I get promoted. I said, how does that feel? She said, all of a sudden, I feel like maybe there's a whole new way to see my work and see my life. And I said, so you're not putting your creativity on hold, are you?
Right.
No, she said, suddenly the whole thing has changed. And it was a powerful inquiry that really tapped into her intuition and her imagination, right?
Uh-huh. And I think about how shifting her story would allow her to let go of the resentment. but also how taxing resentment is, even when we're like, we've gone home for the day. Like in her situation, she's home for the day, but on her commute. And after she gets home, she's got that burden, which saps the energy itself. It's the resentment that takes the energy.
That's it. That's right. So, and we're learning slowly, but more quickly now, that the energetic body is as real as the physical body.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So carrying things around like anger and all of these different things, carrying them, it's not wrong to feel them, but to hang on to them can actually then affect the physical body and the way that I move around in my life overall. It's all connected.
Oh, absolutely. And as an energy healer and somebody who's been a subject of scientific evaluation of light surrounding people's bodies, you know, before and after, it's really fascinating to see how quickly things can shift in a person's energetic body.
Truly.
Yeah. And I love this concept of changing the story. So how can we get creative about our own stories?
Well, first of all, what helps is become really clear about current reality. And so that means I'm going to look where my feet stand on the ground today. And just notice, and again, this whole idea that it has to be this really long process, and it's going to take forever, and I'm going to be facing all these dark things and all that. Okay, let's just get clear about where my feet are on the ground today. I'm Jacob Nordby. I live in Boise, Idaho. I have two children who are finishing up high school. You know, just the fact,
uh-huh.
You know.
Right.
I teach a walk around the house of my life, of your life. So I teach, you know, it's a shamanic practice to walk very, very slowly at about quarter speed through the physical house and just take note of everything that's there.
Uh-huh.
Take note of everything that brings me joy and everything that feels heavy or feels out of place.
Mm-hmm.
I begin to notice, the beginning of changing a story must start with where I am today and real clarity. Yeah.
That makes sense. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Jacob Nordby.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. You know, Jacob, I want to make sure we share with our listeners about what it is you offer, how they can connect with you. What's your website, and do you have any events coming up?
Well, I thank you. I will have an event in January. It'll be the Online Creative Unboot Camp, and we'll be dealing actually with the very things we're talking about today. I'm really excited to share that. Yeah, so you can go to jacobnordby.com, N-O-R-D-B-Y, and there's a place you can send me an email, and please feel free to do that, and that'll add you also to my list so I can notify you about, you know, what's coming up. But if you send me an email, I'd be delighted to send you a PDF of this. You know, it's called Creativity as a Tool for Transformation, and it's actually this assessment that walks through, it does the walk through the house of our lives, and it's a very personal assessment. And what I've found is that gaining clarity that we just talked about in the last segment, it's like getting on a scale or looking at a bank balance, something I've been avoiding, let's say. So mm-hmm. if I get clear, that helps me then see, here's where my feet are today, and here's where I really would prefer to be. This is what I would love to create in this area. And I want to bring that kind of energy to all of this, Christine, because there's so many times that gaining clarity is associated with shame, right?
Right.
So if I look at my bills, I'm going to feel really, really badly that I haven't been paying them or whatever the case might be.
Uh-huh.
So I want to bring a different energy to this. Like, I'm going to look at this so I'm clear about where I am, mm-hmm. and then I can get clear about what I would love to create in this area of my life.
So how do we get beyond that fear? You talk about clarity of where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us avoid that in a variety of ways because of the fear. How do we deal with that fear?
Well, I just feel like it's as simple as telling a story, a new story, really. Because we could spend the rest of our lives in the shadow and seeking for where the wound and where it is and where it came from. And once again, I'm not downplaying that. When those times come, it's really important to do that. However, what I've found is the quickest way is to simply ask the question, what would I love?
Mm-hmm.
What would I love in this area of my life? How would I love to feel? And then actually, literally with a pen and paper, sit down and write a little bit. And even people who aren't writers and don't feel gifted with this, just writing out even a list or a bullet list or whatever, whatever's most comfortable, but just writing a list of how would I love to feel in my perfect relationship, love relationship, here's how I would love to feel. And also just notice that how many times in this idea of creating something, how many times I start to write what I don't want to feel.
Uh-huh, right.
I don't want to be talked down to. I don't want to be ignored. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Just stay in the energy of what would I love?
Uh-huh.
I saw a meme floating around today somewhere. It said, miracles start to happen when you give as much energy to your dreams, or we could say to what I would love, as you do to your fears. And so I feel like the shift point there, Christine, is simply, and here's what I do, is I recognize that little orphan part of me has plenty of facts to show me. Look at all the times this really has already happened.
Uh-huh.
Look how afraid you were.
Right.
And what I do is try to just go, listen, I love you. You do have those facts, and we're not going to deny them. However, what I'm going to do is take a recess here. I'm just going to take a recess, and I'm going to move back into the mind of a child like I was before all these things, these fears happened. And I'm just going to imagine. I'm just going to take 5 minutes and just imagine what I would love. And I've discovered that with that little tool in myself, that helps me shift out of the creating from fear. And here's the thing we need to really get, Christine, is we are creators. Uh-huh. I am a creator.
Yeah.
I am creating in every moment of my life. And I'm creating from one of two energies, fear or love.
Right.
And again, that sounds beautiful and, you know, floaty and all that, but that is literally the truth. And most of our world that we've created down through the course of human history has been created in reaction to fear, trying to keep ourselves safe, trying to make certainty.
Absolutely.
There have been some beautiful things from love, but there have been a lot of it's been from fear. So shifting into the what would I love, I actually create a new world for myself. And when I do that, I actually help create a new world here on this planet.
Yeah. And what I love about what you're saying is when you say the question, what would I love, you follow that up with how would I love to feel? Because I think that oftentimes we think of the circumstances, the thing, as opposed to how we feel about that in our lives.
That's it.
And what we really care about is how we feel. Do we feel safe? Do we feel loved? Do we feel witnessed? Do we feel like, you know, we can express ourselves and have people appreciate it? I mean, it's really about what we feel that matters.
That's right. Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to disassociate any of this from the actual creative product itself, like writing a book or painting or dancing or making music of some kind, because that this energy, creativity, the energy of creation of life, absolutely is channeled into that. But what I find is that's like looking at the leaves of a tree or the fruit on a tree.
Uh-huh.
That is the natural outflowing of a life that is. You know, fully alive. Mm-hmm. So when I become alive inside of my own life, when I wake up and say, I need to be alive inside of my life, then I begin to then move toward. So if people are going, oh my God, well, how can I then use this in my art? Well, this is how you do it. What would I love? What would I love to create?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's really less of a problem. More of the issue here is that most people just feel like they don't get to have creativity. That's the property of the artist
and
the creative. And I just want to make very clear, we are all creative. We are all creating at every moment.
Yeah. So what about the timing? I think that sometimes we decide we're going to create something and it's, you know, it is a process. And yet we do focus on the fruit of the tree. How do we let go to the divine timing of it?
Well, that's a great question. So understanding that the space of imagination, where these things are actually, every book ever written and every building ever built started as an idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we just understand that if I can stay in the energy of the imagination of what it is I wish to create, how I wish to feel,
uh-huh.
it's only on the ground that it takes time for these things to work themselves out.
Sure.
And I can actually slow that way down by staying in fear. And so what I've discovered is that if I move more and more into that space of what would I love to create, it actually speeds, like synchronicities start to happen. As I'm creating this new version of my work, of my teaching, I had no idea I would get a call saying, would you be back on the Christine Upchurch show?
Uh-huh.
But to me, that's one of those synchronistic events, Christine, that helps me go, oh, yes, I'm moving in the direction of this. This is the right path for me.
Right.
So I begin to have the supporting events and people and resources show up to help me. But this starts when I get really in tune with who I am. We are so focused on the what,
uh-huh.
and then we get focused on the how.
Uh-huh.
If we even go upstream far enough to ask why, that's great. But really where it all starts is who.
It starts
with this is who I am. And when I get in touch with that desire, that then begins to flow out into the why am I doing this? Why? What's my purpose for being here? And when that's filled with joy, then the how and the what begin to happen much more rapidly. Does this make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It's beautiful. And I think it's a great note to end on. Jacob, again, what's your website?
JacobNordby.com.
And I love this concept. So when is the new book going to come out, do you think? When is the fruit going to be ready for picking off the tree?
Well, it's funny. I'm actually starting right now after this last event we did, I'm starting right now to do a rewrite. And in my vision of this, it's going to happen very quickly and smoothly. So sometime in the next few months, the draft will be done and the publisher will have it. And it'll be off to the races sometime in 2019.
Fabulous. Thank you, Jacob, for joining us here today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you guys for joining us. I look forward to talking to you again soon. And by the way, on Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW, I will be guest on Brenda Michaels' Women's Hour. Please join us then.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.